it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Tuesday night. Welcome in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us tonight, taking you all the way until 8 o'clock. We've got a lot coming up on the program today. First off, if you want to chime in with what we're talking about, you could do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You could tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching the video stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we can get to that as we go along. We've got a bunch coming up on the show tonight. Amy Marks, of course, is going to be with us. Of course, you hear her during Chris and Amy, but we always call her Hockey Amy when she comes here because we talk hockey, and she is awesome talking hockey, so much so that the folks over at Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest have brought her in. She and Chris Kerber are going to be doing a weekly Blues TV show, so we'll talk a little bit about that and also give her thoughts on the Blues as the season opens up on Thursday night. The hockey season is getting underway today. Three games are being played today, so a happy hockey season for those of you who celebrate. The NHL season is officially started, and the first game of the day, Blackhawks-Panthers, that game is tied 2-2 through two periods. Penguins are going to match up against the Rangers, and the Avalanche and Kings are going to play tonight as well. So Hockey Amy's going to join us in about 10 minutes here on the program. Later on this hour, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on. And I think the baseball playoff series that is of most interest to Cardinals fans, it's the Brewers and the Cubs. Milwaukee won their first two games at home. Now the series is shifting to Chicago for game number three. Jerry Augustine, a former Brewers pitcher who does pregame and postgame work on radio with the Brewers, he is going to join us coming up at about 6:35. And then next hour at 7, just right out of the gates after the 7 o'clock news, we're going to talk with Rob Raines. Rob, of course, has covered the Cardinals for a long time, stlsportspage.com. I wanted to bring him on today because he wrote a really long piece about Chaim Bloom that takes you through Chaim's baseball journey. He talked with a number of people who were part of that journey. It goes all the way back to, well, it goes back to Chaim growing up, but from a you know, baseball career standpoint, goes back to when he was in college and in 2003, spending time at the baseball winter meetings, just trying to find a job in baseball and everything that he's done and just the path that he took. And we all have unique paths to get to wherever we happen to be. But it certainly was that a unique path for Chaim Bloom. And we're going to talk with Rob Raines coming up in just a little while. Also, at about 7:30 or so, if you missed the conversation that Chaim had with the Gas House Gang today, today it was Tom Ackerman, Chris Ronji, and Bernie Miklas. Chaim was on for a good half hour or so today, and they talked about a bunch of stuff. It was a really great conversation, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing from start to finish. But in case you didn't hear it, or if you just want to hear my thoughts on it, what we're going to do at about 7:30 is we're going to play back a lot of what Chaim had to say and kind of go through the key points. Here were the things that I took away from Chaim's conversation today. I thought it was notable, the things he said about Oliver Marmol and the things that he noticed about Ollie, really appreciating. He wasn't discounting so much the in-game strategy or X's or O's or anything like that, but it was more about the culture inside the clubhouse, the way players wanted to play for Ollie. He really appreciated that, and that was a lot of the reasons for bringing Ollie back next year. So you'll hear from that. You'll also, there's many, you know, as many Cardinal fans that are frustrated that Oliver Marmol is going to be back, I feel like that same group of Cardinals fans feel like it's an ownership group that does not give the resources needed, I would push back on both those things, and I would very much push back. But Haim talked about ownership and the DeWitts and the resources that are needed, and not just needed, but have been needed in the past tense, because he's somebody who put together he did a full audit of the organization during his first year in the organization, and then presented it to the DeWitts. And then coming out of that, it was, okay, well, what's needed? And more people were needed. More technology was needed. More infrastructure was needed. And it continues to be needed. They're not where they want to be yet. I thought it was, he at one point in the conversation when talking about adding human capital to the organization, about adding more people, he said, you don't want it to be a clown car where all of a sudden a million people just get out of the car and all of a sudden they're all standing in the organization, that there has to be a plan to it. So this past year, they definitely added people. A lot of it was done in terms of player development, and they are going to continue to add people. They're going to add scouts. They're going to add a lot, and they're going to do the technology side of it, and they're going to do the infrastructure, and they're going to do everything. But I thought it was notable that, and look, I know these cynics will sit here and say, well, what is he going to say? He's been on the job for 15 minutes. He's going to talk bad about his bosses, the owners. Like, I get that might be part of a response, but I take Haim to be somebody who's very genuine. And when he talks about the DeWitts and going to the DeWitts and telling them what is needed and it's going to cost money, that, and basically getting agreement on it. And the second part of that was the return on investment. You could tell that it's very important to him that if you're going to go to the DeWitts and say, we need to spend X amount of dollars for this thing, and this thing, well, then there has to be a return. There has to be a reason why. How is this going to make the organization better? There has to be that return on investment. And at the end of the day, the biggest return on investment is winning baseball games, right? Like, there's dominoes that you push down where you bring in people and they help other people, and then those people help players get better, and then those players being better helps the team playing better, and because the team plays better, you win more games, eventually you win the biggest thing you can win at the end of the season, and you win a World Series. That's the goal, and they're hoping that there are a few dominoes in to that path. But there does have to be the return on investment. There does have to be a direct correlation to, we spent money on this, and this is the result of it. And I got the sense that Haim was very understanding and respectful of that process. That if he was going to ask for something, well, then there's a reason to ask for it, and you're going to get something out of it. So we're going to do a lot on that over the course of the program as well. Again, if you want to chime in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, that's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. For those of you who are watching on the video stream, we certainly appreciate you sticking with us, and you can leave a comment in the chat, and we'll address some of those as we do go along. We're going to switch gears, though. We're going to talk Blues hockey. Hockey Amy Marks, of course, from the Chris and Amy Show, and also from a brand new TV program that she's going to be doing with Chris Kerber on Matrix Midwest. She's going to join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Live on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Rolling on here on a Tuesday night, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Hockey season is officially underway. The NHL has three games being played tonight, one of them already underway going to the third period. Blackhawks and Panthers are tied 2-2 for the St. Louis Blues. They are going to be opening up their season coming up on Thursday night when they are going to match up against the Minnesota Wild. High expectations for the Blues going into the season. And talk about that, and also a really cool opportunity that she's going to be doing this upcoming year. It is our good friend Amy Marks. Of course, you hear her on the Chris and Amy show, but when she makes her Sports Open Line appearances, she is Hockey Amy, and she joins us right now. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I'm so glad Hockey Amy is back.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do this. I know you're doing weekly Gas House Gang appearances. We'll see mm-hmm. How often we can get you here on Sports Open Line. But before we go any further, you had really big news earlier this week because you are expanding your Blues coverage with a TV show that you and Chris Kerber are going to be doing together.
Yeah, I am so honored. I'm so excited to do a weekly hockey show on Matrix Midwest with Chris Kerber. It's Offside Hockey with Kerbs and Amy. And it's an hour of hockey talk. We talk about the Blues. We talk about what's going on around the NHL. Fun conversations. And I love it. I feel like it's my first true sports love with ice hockey. So being able to talk about the Blues with Kerbs is a lot of fun. He's a hoot.
He is. I'm really looking forward to it. I think a lot of people that hear you on Chris and Amy don't realize that you're really good at breaking down the sport of hockey. And obviously you were involved with our Blues radio broadcast when the Blues were here on KMOX. But it is it's a credit to you that the folks there at Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest recognize the fact that you know what you're talking about when you're talking hockey.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it. You know, I grew up as a rink rat. I was at the U.S. Ice Sports Complex, which then became the Hardee's Complex, which then got knocked down back 30 years ago when the Blues practiced there. And I would hang out. I would interview the players and write for I was 11, 12 years old, Matt. And I would write a little Word document hockey newsletter with all my interviews with Al MacInnis and Pavel Demitra and Joel Quenneville and Mark Bergevin and Tony Twist, Kelly Chase, you name it. And so that was where my love for hockey started. And then I played all through my teens and 20s. And so being able to be on the Blues broadcast with KMOX, and especially that they won their cup on KMOX, was just a thrill of a lifetime.
It's really, really cool, and I'm glad that you're able to do some more hockey stuff here moving forward. Like I mentioned, you'll do the TV show, you'll do Gas House Gang once mm-hmm. a week. If we can get you, we may try to get you about that often here on Sports Open Line to talk Blues hockey. But the expectations this season, I say they're high because this is a really good team, but they're also playing in a stacked division, and just mm-hmm. you look at the really good teams in the NHL, it's very wide open amongst a pretty large group of teams. How good do you think this team can be this year?
I know. I think I'm maybe I'm biased, maybe I'm not. The Blues are going to be good. That's an objective opinion. I know Doug Armstrong a couple of years ago, even last year, we were talking about some kind of transition year. That's over. It's not a transition. That window of time where we thought, well, let's figure out what we've got. The Blues are there. They've arrived. They've got a fast team. They've got a competitive team. We saw what they could be after the Four Nations Cup, struggling in the first half of the season, then being able to go on a run in the second half of the season with a long winning streak, bumping their power play up to third in the league after the Christmas break, and then going toe-to-toe with the Winnipeg Jets, who were arguably the best team in the league in that playoff series. So I mean, yes, they could win the division. I don't think they have to win the division. I think they're, even if they just kind of hang around for a bit, it's going to be such a competitive division that the difference between 1, 2, and 3 could be pretty minimal.
They brought in a couple guys during the offseason. Obviously, we saw them have a ton of success during the final month and a half, and into the postseason. They were so close to pulling off an incredible mm-hmm. upset in the first round, and that just doesn't happen. How much better can they be this season compared to the version of themselves they were down the stretch last season?
I think significantly, Matt. We saw the potential of Jimmy Snuggerud. Now you've got him playing on the top line with Buchnevich and Thomas. Thomas is the number one creator on the team, right? He's the playmaker. Buchnevich is the workhorse. Snuggerud, he's the shooter. He's the goal scorer, and we only got to see a glimpse of him last season. The extension, the contract extension that Doug Armstrong managed with Cam Fowler, adding on 3 years after this year, changes the trajectory of the defense. Now we have time to continue to develop players like Mayu. But Cam Fowler is the kind of guy, the kind of player that can control the pace of the game when the puck is on his stick. And this is a team that looks a bit different than the Craig Berube teams, which were focused more on throwing elbows, a lot of physicality. Not that this team's not physical, but the coach is on pace.
Hey Amy, your cell phone just kind of died out a little bit. I was seeing if it was going to come back. We're gonna redial you real quick just to try to get a better connection. So Daniel, if you can do that, we'll hang up and we'll try to get Amy back here in just a moment or so as we're continuing to preview the Blues season with Hockey Amy. And again, we're looking forward to seeing what she's going to be able to do with the TV show that she's going to be doing with Chris Kerber. Wanted to go through with her some of the other the thing that she just mentioned with Jimmy Snuggerud being alongside of Robert Thomas, and they were together through all of training camp, and it seems like this is a big key. I think those top two lines, though, and we'll see if it ends up being Suter or Shen really on that second line centering, but between Holloway and Kyrou, just those top two lines. So I think we've got Hockey Amy. Amy Mark scores back with us.
Sorry about that.
No problem at all. It feels like these top two lines, and like we'll see if it's Suter centering the second line or Shen centering the second line. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be going back and forth at least a little bit. But when you look at the other pieces in there with Buchnevis, Thomas, Snuggerud, and then Holloway and Kyrou on that second line, it does feel like you've got two lines out there. And that's not, you know, I'm a big Jake Neighbors guy, and he's going to be your third line winger. It feels like there's the opportunity for this team to be relentless on the ice, on always having a line out there that can legitimately go out there and score a goal.
Yeah, and then I don't know where I got cut off, but yes, when you put focus on, as you mentioned, the Buchnevich, Thomas, Snuggerud line, right? Thomas, with being the creator that he is, or the playmaker that he is, not only are you going to see him on the ice a lot, setting up a Jimmy Snuggerud, who's got a tricky shot, by the way, sneaky, deceitful. Goalies can't tell when it's coming, how it's coming. And so to have him playing with Thomas is key. Coach Jim Montgomery said that Thomas is going to be on the power play, obviously, as much as possible. So you've really got to focus on the power play and the penalty kill. You mentioned Jake Neighbors. He could bounce around. I mean, Buchnevich needs to be the workhorse on that team, but maybe we see 63 slide up to that spot, depending on how that goes. But the second line, as well, as you mentioned, they're pretty set. Doug Armstrong was on a podcast, I think it was yesterday, a couple days ago, with John Shannon and Dylan Millard on 100% Hockey. And it was really interesting what he said. He goes, you know, we don't have a McDavid. We're not that one-star team, but we've got six or seven guys that could be a top second line with any team in the league. And he said this Blues team is going to be fast, and it's going to be death by 1,000 cuts, which was kind of an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Amy Marks, of course, continuing to join us. Just a couple more moments with her. From a defensive standpoint, and you mentioned earlier the extension for Cam Fowler, that top defensive pairing of Cam Fowler and Colton Parayko, mm-hmm. It's so important, especially as you get into the playoffs, that you have that defensive pairing that you can always match up against another team's top line. How confident are you in that Fowler-Parayko pairing that they can be that upper echelon elite defensive pairing?
Very confident. And, you know, that's not a given that two elite defensemen are going to meld and work together the way that Fowler and Parayko have done. They get each other. They get the way the other plays. In fact, the last defensive pairing, I think, that worked so well naturally together was Parayko and Bouwmeester. When you saw the way that those two were able to play together. And so this pairing for me, I think, it's not just that Cam Fowler, like I said, is a great player who controls the pace of play, but it's the fact that he works so well with Parayko that the, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than the individual. And I think they are going to be that elite defensive pair. They're going to get, a lot of ice time. They're going to be workhorses, which makes a difference. Which makes a difference in this season that's condensed because of the Olympic break. That's why, you talk about a workload. Jordan Binnington and Joel Holfer, you have to have a strong goaltender pair. You can't, gone are the days of Grant Fuhr playing 80 games of the regular season, because the workload on the goaltenders is going to be enormous, and they're going to have to split it up because of that Olympic break and the way the games are condensed.
Last thing for you, Oscar Sundquist, a little bit banged up. He's going to miss at least the first 3 weeks of three games of the season, I should say. Sounds like Nick Bjugstad will come off the wing on the third line, go center of the fourth line. That will allow somebody like Matthew Joseph to just step in to a third line spot. When we're looking at the fourth line center, we're getting a little bit choosy, but obviously you'd rather not have an injury situation early on in the year.
Right. And there's no need for it because of the way that fourth line is going to function. We kind of knew that Sundquist might be bouncing in and out, might have to take some of the workload off of him to protect his body. He is a little banged up, not necessarily the quickest guy on the ice, but he brings that experience and that skill level. So, yes, you want him to get better. 3 weeks at the beginning of the season, not a huge deal. But not to trivialize the beginning of the season, the Blues, Chris Kerber has said this over and over again. Jim Montgomery has said it. The Blues have to get off to a strong start. They have 11 games in October, 7 of those at home, where I think they're still in an unbeaten streak, Matt. I don't think they've lost in, 9-10 games. So they have to get a strong start.
She is Amy Markscores. Hockey Amy, as we call her here on Sports Open Line, now the co-host of Offside Hockey with Chris Kerber on Matrix Midwest. Of course, you hear her on KMOX with Chris and Amy show. She'll be part of Gas House Gang. We'll get her here on Sports Open Line a lot. Amy, thanks for the time. You're going to get very busy now that hockey season's underway.
I'm looking forward to it, Matt. It's a good busy.
All right, very good. That's Amy Markscores joining us, and we appreciate her taking a few moments with us. We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk playoff baseball with former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine. That Brewers-Cubs series, it's interesting. Brewers took the first two games. We'll talk about that, and we'll also talk some other baseball playoffs. As finally, the first game of the day is underway. They have been dealing with bad weather in Detroit, so the Tigers and the Mariners are finally underway. We'll talk with Jerry Augustine in just a moment as you're listening to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Back at it as we do continue on through the evening, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. We'll hear a little bit more from Chaim Bloom coming up next hour, the new Cardinals president of baseball operations. He was on with the Gas House Gang earlier today. We'll play back much of what he said. Also, Rob Raines wrote a really interesting piece going back through really Chaim's entire baseball history. And we'll talk with Rob coming up next hour about everybody that he talked to in that profile of Chaim Bloom. But right now, we are very happy to welcome onto the program. He is a very good friend of mine, somebody I worked with for years and years and who I certainly miss. He is former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine, continuing to do post-game work after Brewers games on the radio, and they've got a lot to talk about. This Cubs-Brewers series, I think for Cardinals fans, very interesting with a couple NL Central teams matched up against each other, and Jerry Augustine joins us right now. Augie, always great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm so excited. It's been such a long time that we've been able to go on together, but the times we spent were very precious. We had a great relationship, and it was so enjoyable just to be with you talking baseball. And anytime you can talk baseball, you know you're doing a good thing.
I agree with that. But to be perfectly honest with you, I've been I thought this series was going to be tighter. I thought it was one that was likely to be 1-1 after the first two games going back to Chicago. But the Brewers just keep doing what they've done all year, and that's not worry about what the outside expectations are and score a bunch of runs and win a bunch of games. And it's been pretty impressive here in the first two games for Milwaukee.
Well, I think the one thing you have to you look at the Brewers, the Brewers are playing the Brewers brand of baseball. And you talk about this ball club, the way they've been from the beginning of the year, but it all starts with their pitching. They have a great pitching staff, and you look at what they do with starters and with relievers. They've been very consistent. I think they have one of the best defenses in all of baseball, and they've shown that day in and day out. But I think where they really made some strides is in the offensive side, Matt. When you saw this ball club early in the season, they're more of a team that go out and they manufacture runs. They wouldn't hit a lot of home runs, but they put the ball in play. They had the opportunity. They lead the majors with infield hits. They lead the majors with scoring four runs or more so many times during the season. But the second half of the season really made a little turn for the Brewers. They became a team that could not only manufacture runs, but hit home runs. And we saw that's been quite evident in the first two games of this series, where they said opening night they went out and they manufactured runs, where swinging the bat very well, putting the ball in play, and running the bases very well. Last night it was all about home runs. All the runs scored were all about home runs. So the Brewers have given the Cubs a little taste of a little bit of everything, a little bit of being able to manufacture, being able to hit home runs, and then the pitching and defense has been outstanding.
Yeah, I think I gave the Cubs maybe more credit than I should have, largely because of the power. You just talked about home runs, and on paper, the Cubs, I mean, it seems like every guy in their lineup is a 30-plus home run guy. But to your point, they've hit some home runs for sure. They've taken some leads in the first two games thanks to the long ball, but that has not resulted in them winning games. It seems like the Brewers have found a way to kind of neutralize the Cubs' power.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that's really big in the game of baseball, and, you know, you've been around baseball so long, the one cardinal rule of baseball is that when you score, you don't let the opponent score. And I think that's really been a credit to this ball club the second half of the season, and especially not so much in September. They had kind of a little bit of a lull, but the rest, when you take from All-Star break up until September, boy, the other team scored, they'd always apply pressure. And I think that's one thing that this team is very good at. They have the ability, whether there's one out or two outs or no outs, to apply pressure. They get guys on base. They run the bases very well. They don't strike out a lot, and they put the ball in play. And that's a real credit to the organization. And you know, this Brewer team is a really nice blend of veteran players and young players. And you got the leaders on this ball club with a Christian Yelich and Contreras, those type of guys. They really are great leaders. And I tell you what, the young kids have really stepped up and made a big difference, though.
Augie, I was talking about this earlier, because from a Cardinals perspective, they look up to the Brewers. There's a lot of things that the Brewers do organizationally that the Cardinals need to do, or at least need to do better. And it's impressive when you look at the last 10 years of the Brewers, because they go from David Stearns to Matt Arnold as the president of baseball operations, nothing changes. They go from Craig Counsell to Pat Murphy as the manager, nothing changes. They go from Derek Johnson to Chris Hook, a pitching coach, nothing changes. They've had tons of changes on the coaching staff. They've had multiple hitting coaches in that time. What is it? What is it that, whether it's the Cardinals or any other organization, what's the thing that they can look at the Brewers and try to start imitating, replicating, looking in that direction that allows Milwaukee to continue to have the success that they've had without spending tons and tons of money?
Well, I think it started out back when you were with us in Milwaukee, is their brand changed. And what happened, and that started way back with Doug Melvin. When Doug Melvin, before he left, he made some really great trades. We all know this. CC Sabathia in 2008 was an outstanding trade and really made the difference for the Brewers. And but when you go on from him, David Stearns came in and they started getting that idea with Craig Counsell saying, hey, you know what? You have to go out and you have to be a good teammate. You have to go out and you have to set your limits as high as you want. We're not going to tell you what your limits are. You just have to go show it. Be a good teammate. And I think that kind of blossomed into where all of a sudden this organization, instead of going out and just looking at the offense and the defensive side of the ball, started really to build themselves in the pitching area. And that started with, you know, you had Corbin Burns and Woody and all these guys that have come in and really made a big difference in this organization. So I think the scouting has done an outstanding job. They've really blossomed. And when you look at this organization from the pitching side, they're very pitching rich up and down the organization. That's where it started. Being in a spot where you have to be strong, and that's in the pitching. They've done that, and I'll tell you what, the fielding, the hitting, and everything else has just followed suit. And this organization from bottom up still goes with the same plan. There's no I in team. There's a lot of me's. You can't have a team unless you have an ME in there. And I tell you, that's really paid off for the organization.
It's from a national perspective, the Craig Counsell storyline gets played so much. How does that impact anything? I know fans obviously continue to be very unhappy with him in Milwaukee that he left. But is this something that maybe the national folks pick up on a lot because it's a playoff matchup, but it's something that in reality has sort of passed in some ways because he's been there for a couple of years?
Well, you've got to look at the organization, what it was, and when Craig came aboard and he tried to bring that culture that you had to go out and be a good teammate and you had to go out and help your team and you got to do whatever you can for the team. And I think that culture, he started that culture, and having Murph as a coach and when he was in college and now with him here in Milwaukee, I think it just transcended over to the way Murph is. And Murph has a different style a little bit. He's more of a college style coaching method with the players. The players understand where he comes from. But I think you build a good team by having good surrounding yourself with good people. And if you look at this Brewer organization and you look at this Brewer team on the major level, all the coaches do a really good job. Murph is just the guy who leads them. He's the one who makes the decision. He's the one that says, I want this and I want that. It's up to those coaches to go out. And they have so many good coaches, Chris Hudson, Jim Anderson in the pitching. They got Erickson on the fielding. These guys work relentlessly with these players to make them better. And you're talking about kids in this ball club and this organization. You take a Caleb Durbin and Ortiz, and you look at all the guys that they have on their ball club that have gone out and done such a great job. And it's really made a difference. And their scouting has done really well because they take up a guy like Andrew Vaughn. But when you look at Collins and Perkins and all these guys, these young players have gotten better because they have a great leadership with the coaches, and they got really great players with a leader as a Christian Yelich, who goes out and plays a lot like a Robin and a Paul Molitor. And these guys go out and they show it each and every day.
Cardinals fans looking up to the Brewers and to the Cubs, they would love to be in that spot. Augie, hopefully we can get Cardinals and Brewers playing games that that matter a little bit more here sooner than later, because I'm jealous that you get to be covering playoff baseball right now.
It's always fun. You know, anytime the Brewers and the Cardinals play, it's a lot of fun to watch. The Cardinals have always been there. It seems like they're in a little bit of a lull right now, but that happens. You have ways that it goes about, but now they have a little bit different in leadership, but they're not that far off. It doesn't take much. It just takes the ability to go out and play good, solid baseball, and that good brand of baseball. Got to be solid pitching, playing defense and offense. And if they can do that, good things can happen.
Augie, I'm so glad we got to catch up and talk a little bit. You know, I miss you, and hopefully our paths cross again real soon. But thank you so much for taking the time tonight.
Oh, Matt, you're one of the best. One of the best I've ever worked with. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Jerry Augustine, former pitcher for the Brewers, now doing post-game radio. He was my co-host when I was out there doing stuff, and he is one of the best people walking the face of the earth, and I'm glad I got the chance to talk to him for just a few moments here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we're going to talk with Rob Raines. He had a great profile on Heim Bloom, and using the word profile probably doesn't completely explain what it is. It is a long really feature on Heim Bloom's path to where he is right now. And speaking of Bloom, he was on Gas House Gang earlier today. We're going to replay some of that coming up in just a while as well. Don't go anywhere. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Continuing on for just a few more minutes here in this hour after the 7 o'clock news. We'll get underway with hour number two. Again, Rob Raines is going to join us just after the 7 o'clock news over at stlsportspage.com. He wrote a very long-form profile feature on new Cardinals president of baseball operations, Heim Bloom, that I thought was really fantastic. He talked to a lot of people from Heim's past, so we'll have Rob to talk about that coming up in just a while. And then, Bloom was on Gas House Gang earlier today. We're going to play back some of that for you, some of the things that he specifically said. He did, by one of the staples of KMOX, and specifically the Sports on a Sunday Morning program hosted by Tom Ackerman, is that the Cardinals president of baseball operations is a part of that. And John Mozeliak was very, very, very gracious with his time over the years. A lot of news was broken when Mo would come on Sunday mornings. And listening to Heim talk earlier today on his way out of that conversation, he said that he has already put the Sunday morning conversation into his calendar, and that is going to be something that he is going to continue to do. So for those of you who expect to hear from the Cardinals president of baseball operations on Sunday mornings, you are going to continue to hear from him. Heim Bloom is going to continue that tradition with Tom Ackerman on Sports on a Sunday Morning. So that is really good news. And I think Mo was incredible. I said earlier, gracious with his time. I think that of everything we can say positively or negatively about Mo, one of the things that I really always appreciated from him, and I think he did this very much on purpose, I've heard him talk about this at times, was he tried to be available to the media. He saw value in us being the opportunity for either A, him to talk to fans on what was going on, or just being there for us because we wanted to talk to him. And I thought he was pretty good with that here at KMOX. It was great, and I get the sense that it's going to be more of the same with Heim Bloom. He's going to be somebody that you're going to hear from. And I think the Cardinals realized this, but it just because they realize it or doesn't realize it doesn't make it more or less true. There is an expectation. Expectation is the wrong word. There is a need, wrote that. There is a need for Cardinals fans to hear from the various people that are running this organization. And we've had Rob Serfolio on this show. Now Heim Bloom's around. There's other people in the organization as well. It is vitally important that the fans understand what's going on, why decisions are being made, why decisions are going to be made, things like that. And I do think that I think there's an understanding from the organization that is something that's important and something that they are going to attempt to do here moving forward. So I would suspect a lot of people from the organization will be heard fairly often here on KMOX and other places as well. But it was good to listen to Heim. And again, if you missed any of it, we're going to replay much of what he had to say. About 7:30 or so, we're going to get into that coming up next hour. So don't go anywhere. That's it for hour number one of the show. We've got our 7 o'clock news with Michael Calhoun in just a few moments, and then I'll be back with you as Rob Raines is going to be with us to talk through his profile on Heim Bloom that just published, I believe published yesterday. We'll talk with Rob Raines coming up in a few minutes right here on KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.